I want to read a passage of scripture, and that is from Ephesians chapter 1. And the reason I'm reading it in the NIV is really because sometimes we just need a punch. You know what I mean by that? There are many translations, but sometimes we need to just needs that infusion. So hopefully, as reading this passage, you feel infused. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Jesus, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined that we would be to the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and knowledge and understanding, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Verse 11, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Jesus should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also who also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee that the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the glory of God. That says to me, ownership. If you know and love the Lord, you are owned by him. So he says, you're owned by me. I have the responsibility to take care of you. You know, every Easter, I spend time just meditating on what Christ did on the cross. So important. Because sometimes our days are so busy, we don't reflect. We know about him, but to reflect on what he did. And it suddenly dawned on me something we all know, but it came in a different revelation in my life. That the same power that raised him from the dead is in me. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is in you, if you know and love him. What a powerful thing that is. It means we are capable of relating to him and allowing him to relate to us in a very special way. So I'd like you to say as a congregation, I can rejoice because Christ lives in me. Now say it as though you're not hungry. I can rejoice because Christ lives in me. Hallelujah. There may be those of you online or in the house who cannot say or could not say, Christ lives in me. I am going to believe with others here who have been able to say that by the end of this service, you will want to say, Christ lives in me. If you are here and you have not known Jesus, this is your day. This is your opportunity to know him as Lord and Savior. You're here not by accident. You're here by the divine will of God that you may come to know him today. The word rejoice does not mean to have a party. Though there may be those here today or at home who are saying, well, how can I rejoice? You have no idea what I'm going through right now. The thing is, I do know someone who does know exactly where you are and what you're going through, and he says, rejoice. It means his joy in us, that joy that makes it possible to have a party in the inside when everything around you is crashing down. The joy inside that only because you have, it's only there because you have Christ in you, because he is joy. I have found that when I lean into him, when things outside are confusing, if I lean into him, then his joy, his Holy Spirit, gives me the wisdom and the understanding and the knowledge to deal with what is going on the outside. I know what it feels like to grieve and question God's decision when, as a family, an extended family, we've lost 9 family members in 2 years. That's confusing. I know what it is to feel that grief and to ask God, what is going on? I grieved when I had to have my womb removed, when it was possible to at least have one child. I grieved when God said no to the marriage of someone I deeply loved. I grieved when I had to accept my singleness. And then he showed me that my significance was in him. And he has orchestrated my entire life. And this is my journey. His joy. Sometimes he will let you hit rock bottom, but he is the rock at the bottom. I choose to lean into him and allow him to show me what I feel like, what he wants me to feel like, how to stand with me. He will stand with you in the situations in life. Yes, things happen. We live in a broken, fallen world. Things happen. But he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That doesn't mean he's somewhere over here or he's somewhere up there. It means he's in me, so he walks with me. He walks with you in the situation. He will sometimes just join you in the fire when you wish he'll take you out of the fire. Is it just me? Sometimes I just say, can't you just change this? I mean, you have the power to and the willingness to do it. But then he says, no, I want to join you in it so that you're better for it. We can always live knowing we have victory in every situation because he is our victor. Victory is always present. It may not be our timing and how we see and what when we experience that victory, but we always know he will always be on time and he's always good and he's always perfect in all he does. Psalm 32 verse 8 says, I will instruct you. I will teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eyes. That's not just a scripture to read. That means it is. We have to live in what he says or else the enemy will steal it. You and I only hear him when we lean into him. In other words, spend time with him. Sometimes that means just being silent and listen. Last year, I decided I wanted to be, I was reading a book, and the second chapter was about the Holy Spirit as a dove. And I decided suddenly, I just wanted to be reacquainted with his voice only. You know what I mean by that? There are so many voices around us. During the pandemic, if you clicked on your mobile phone or any of your medias, it was so many verses of scripture and so much. There were voices. But what is he saying to me? What is he saying to you that will help you to grow and be strong? What is he saying to you that will help you to stand in the fire and say, I will worship God? The time may come when we need to say that, when we need to stand for him, when they say we will burn you if you don't accept, if you don't deny your Lord. Are you ready for him to use you? Don't forget that the enemy is on the other side of the table trying to pull you down and steal your destiny from God, for that God has for you. That he saw in you, God saw in you even before you were born. You don't have to look for purpose. The purpose is in you. Spend time with the king and he will show you your purpose. The enemy will steal the food from the very food from your plate and cause you to hear how he wants you to hear the interpretation of God's word. That's what he did with Adam and Eve. God created a perfect earth, took 2 perfect people, put them in a perfect garden, gave them a perfect life, and in that perfection, the enemy walked in and said, I've got you, you're mine. What makes you think he wouldn't use the same strategy to steal from you and me? God responded with a perfect solution that to this day, the enemy has no move. In actual fact, there's a passage of scripture that says, when the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of God raises the standard against the enemy on your behalf and mine. When the enemy comes in, the comma needs to be when the enemy comes in. It can't be the enemy comes in like a flood. That worried me for some time, and I thought, how could the enemy come in like a flood when I have Christ in me? The comer is when the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of God raises the standard over the enemy's assignment on my life. But I have to be in the position to know that and to receive that. Christ on the cross provided us with the power, the authority, the protection, the provision of God that God has for us. He redeemed our position. That's why we can rejoice in him. Accepted, not rejected, number one. We're accepted in him, a reason to rejoice. It is so precious to know that we are accepted, whether in the workplace, in academia, in our family, in friendship, or in our spiritual relationship with God. To be accepted can change how we feel about ourselves and promote a feeling of well-being and feeling loved. Unlike being made to feel rejected in those same places in our life, rejection has the ability to result in a feeling of inadequacy, a lack of self-esteem and self-worth. It can make us feel that you're not wanted, you were a mistake at birth, born at the wrong time, in the wrong generation. But look at Moses for a minute. Moses was adopted. He grew up at a different mother. He became a criminal. He became a fugitive, feeling inadequate, searching for his true identity. Never met his father, yet God chose him. We come with all these excuses before the throne instead of just saying, Lord, what is my destiny? And walking into it. Moses didn't yet know his destiny, but he was not born in the wrong timing. Where God was concerned, he was born in the right timing for what God was going to do with Moses. So God said to Moses, I'm God. You're all that I want you to be. And somebody here today or online, the Lord is just saying to you, I am God. I have called you. You're exactly what I want you to be and who I want you to be. When the Holy Spirit is ready to use us, it will happen. Sometimes it happens in uncomfortable places where you wish he had not spoken. I don't know about you, but I've had those moments when I just said, could it be a later date? I've got a plan. You know the saying, if you want to hear God laugh, tell him your plan. I had a plan. He had a purpose. I decided to stop listening and looking for my plan, getting it fixed, because it wasn't working. It was just too confusing. And look at what he was saying. One of my former senior pastors, Win Lewis, he knew what it was to pull everything out of us as members of staff. Just pull it out of you. And then I think the Holy Spirit just said, got her, got him. Now I can go forward. It's important to know that God has a destiny and a purpose for our lives. It's not about us. It's all about him. How precious it is to know someone who says, no matter what you feel or you have been told about you, yourself, you have been accepted by me, and I am the King of Kings, and I desired you to be born. I desired you to be born even before the world began. I died for you to have an eternal inheritance. Not only are we accepted, the Word of God says, then we're adopted. Is that beautiful? You're accepted. But then an adoption is a different thing. When a child is adopted, it means two people choose that child. Of all the children, they choose that child. That's a very special thing. God says, I've accepted you, and now you're so special, I'm adopting you. We live in a world that so easily can make us feel unloved and isolated, full of shame because of the things of our past. However, on the cross, an exchange took place. He took our shame that we would have his glory. He took our pain that we would have his joy. He died that we would live again, which means we can change our course, redirect our thought life, and walk forward. You can change your course. Whatever the situation may have been before you walked into this house today or in your home, if you allow him to, he can change your course, redirect your thought life, and move you forward into all that he has for you to do. He who began a good work in you, he will complete it. We need to stop trying to do it for him and let him do it through us. Another thing so easily we can do is once we start on the path, then we begin to do it. If he has chosen the path, he is the only one who can do it. One of the things I said to the Lord this year, at the beginning of the year, I always test every year, at the beginning of every year, if I'm still, I know that I'm still in the lane he's called me to, but I want to make sure that he is in the lane with me. Or else all I'm doing is walking a lane. But I need to know he is on the lane with me. It's a wonderful thing to ask him to just hear his voice, just know the voice of the Holy Spirit. It was hard at first because it meant just being quiet. That's not easy, especially for us girls. We need to talk. At least that's what the men say. We talk a lot. But I learned just slowly allowing that experience of just being quiet before him. At first, it's like you get all the thoughts coming into your mind, and the enemy will make you get up and think nothing is happening because you're thinking about things to do. It's not happening, but I just stayed in that presence every day. I just kept staying until it got to the point where now, today, I can actually just do this and go, Holy Spirit, I need you as the dove right now. And he comes. And he shows me what I need to see. To ensure that, to secure that insurance, Jesus died a perfect, Jesus was born into a perfect situation, died a cruel death, that trusting in him, we are forgiven by God. Redemption is the release secured by a payment for our redemption. I said earlier this morning, and I say it again, a judge was sitting in the bench, and he saw his classmate come in as a criminal, and he had to pass judgment on someone who was his dear friend. He became a judge. Sadly, his friend ended up in crime. The judge did what he had to do. He passed judgment. He stated the cost. And then he took off his robe, left the bench, went down, paid the clerk the money that he had just charged the criminal, went back to the bench and put on his coat. That's exactly what Jesus did for us. He took off his kingly robes. He left and paid the penalty for me and for you, for our sins forever. And then he went back and put on his robe. King of kings, Lord of lords. He is my Father. He is your Father. He is your King. He is your Lord. He was always victor. He did not die to become a victor. He was always victor. He did not die to prove he was a victor. He did not overcome the enemy to prove he was a victor. He was always the victor. He had always been the defender of the enemy. He was always the authority. He was always life. He died and rose again that you and I would have eternal life and in abundance. But he was always life. He was always victor. He did it that we would be victorious. In and through him, we are more than conquerors because of what Christ has done. He has conquered. He was God on the cross. He was God in the tomb. Rejoice. This is who we serve. Psalm 139 tells us, the Lord says, I knitted you in your mother's womb. Verse 16, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Because he says accepted, how dare you feel you're unaccepted? Because somebody told you something about yourself. That's an insult to the king and the death that he paid. We are accepted. We are accepted into the beloved. So we are hidden with Christ in God. I need another book. Okay. Thank you, Scott. Okay. This is me. This is you. We are hidden with Christ in God. Thank you, Scott. We are hidden with Christ in God. Don't let the enemy make you feel God is not attending to you and he doesn't care about you. Because you've been praying for 15 years for something and it hasn't yet happened. Put your net on the other side of the boat. Listen to the king. Spend time in his presence and he will tell you where to fish. and find the answer. Maybe you're praying in the wrong direction. You're praying for the wrong thing. And he's not bringing it forth because he knows it will kill you. And he wants you to live in this generation, in this time. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 to 15. I'm not going to read it all, of course. Says that when I walk into a room, when you walk into the room, you are a fragrance of Christ. You are his aroma, a fragrance, not an odor. People run from an odor. In other words, you don't have to do the work of the king. Just be present and allow him to use you. Saint Francis of Assisi says, preach the gospel always. And only if necessary, speak a word. We are supposed to be the gospel, how we live, how we speak, how we behave towards others. Even if they're unkind to us, the Bible says, bless those who hurt you. Bless those who say all evil against you. Bless. We need the power of Christ in us to do that. Don't know about you, but I did. I found I needed his power to help me to actually bless someone who had hurt me many years ago. And once I started blessing out of obedience, not because it's a feeling. Some of the things we want to do for the Lord, we wait for the feeling. You're not going to always have a feeling. You just have to make a decision, a choice. I will do this and I will obey the king, even if it doesn't make sense to me. It's a choice. Number two, we're beloved. One, we're accepted. B, we're beloved. Two, we're beloved. You have the right and the position to be beloved. Songs of Songs, chapter 2, verse 16 says, my beloved is mine and I am his. This is intimacy. The Holy Spirit longs to have an intimate relationship with us. In the Old Testament, there's so many affections of endearment that actually just mean longed for. Beloved. To prefer in the New Testament. Number three, we are chosen by God before we were born. That's a trip. We were chosen by God before we were born. Ephesians 1:4. He chose us before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight and in love. There may be someone here today or at home, and you have heard it said about you that you were born in the wrong time, not the right to the right parents, that you are no good, whatever it is, you're too this, you're too that. You may have heard negative things about you that have lasted some time. There was a moment in my life when I had to deal with issues that I had been told about me when I was a child in order to move into what God says about me. It was, again, a choice to stop listening to what I heard about me that was affecting my life and change my thought life, so that I can walk into all that God has for me. There is still a destiny for your life in Christ. Make sure that you don't cause it to be an excuse of not living fully for God because of something somebody said about you. God still has a destiny for you. I want to tell you that even though we may have been a surprise to our parents, we're never a surprise to God. You and I are in this generation with purpose, for a purpose. Out of 7 billion plus people on the planet, God chose you and me before the foundations of the world were. So it was he who put something into operation that your great-great-grandparents met each other, and your great-great-grandparents met each other, and your great-grandparents met each other, and your grandparents met each other, and your parents met each other, so that you will be here in this time, in this point in history, for a purpose for him. You were to be born now, in this generation, for this generation, in this timing. You're not an accident of birth. Isaiah 49, the second half of verse 1 says, before my mother knew me, I was in her womb, and God saw that. You know, that verse of scripture was one of the scripture verses that God used, the first three verses actually, and I read it and did not really realize that he was actually speaking to me about the new path that he had for me. Before my mother knew I was in her womb, God knew me. Not only that, he then gave me a name. He gave you a name. Before you were named, God named you. That's intimacy. There's a reason to rejoice today. There's a reason to rejoice. He knew us, and by faith, He long before we were conceived, God knew us, and by faith, He could see us being conceived, formed, and born into this world. It means that there isn't a single person on earth that was a surprise to God, but rather planned to be born, and in your ethnicity, it was God's plan. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you and appointed you to be a prophet to the nations. And I really believe God has called the church to be a prophet to the nations. How will men come to know Christ if they don't know, if we don't show him to them? Isaiah 1:11, in him we have obtained an inheritance. How wonderful is that? Now, not only we are being accepted, we are adopted, we are beloved, we are destined for greatness, and God says, I have given you an inheritance. Now, it doesn't say we will have an inheritance, though it does mean we will. It says you have one. You have an inheritance. What are you doing with the inheritance God has given you? From the moment of your salvation, God gave you an inheritance. What are you doing with the inheritance? Sometimes we see inheritance in the light of what we have, money, land, property. And we look for that as God's gift to us. But God is already saying, you have an inheritance. What am I doing with the inheritance God has given me? What are you doing with the inheritance God has given you? Are you allowing the enemy to steal your inheritance and leave you with a pot of porridge? Because that's what he will do. He will come in like the bad wolf and eat your porridge and sleep in your bed. So you have bad dreams. You think somebody's after you. And you get depressed because you've allowed the enemy to lie in your bed and drink your porridge. Kick him out because you have an inheritance that doesn't belong to him. It's not his inheritance, it's yours. He doesn't have a right into your house. He doesn't have a right into your mind. He doesn't have a right into your life. Rejoice. Christ is in you. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:9, you are a royal priesthood. This is God talking to you and me. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen race, a people after my own possession, that you may obtain excellence of him who's called you out of darkness into a marvelous light. Rejoice. Christ is in you. Destined for greatness. We're destined for the greatness of what God has for us. Be careful. What we need, the most important thing the enemy has stolen from the church today, or for everyone today, is time. All of a sudden, we don't have time for devotion because we have a lot of time for social media. I'm old enough to remember the days when if you were not at home, you couldn't make a phone call. But I still had friends. And I still knew what was happening in my friends' lives. But now, everything is at the bedside. By the way, switch your phone off at night when you're going to sleep. Everything can wait until you decide in the morning. Time yourself on the time you spend on social media. Some of that time you need to spend with the Lord himself rather than social media to tell you how to spend the day. What's the reading for the day? And he's waiting to not only talk to you, not only have you talk to him, but talk to you. Don't allow the enemy to steal your time with God. Because he knows that if he gets you to find reasons why you can't meet with him in the morning, you'll say, I'll see you at night, Lord. I'll spend time with you. And you don't. At least I found I couldn't. Because I was too tired and I had things to do. I had to cook. I had to do this. I had to do that. I went to sleep. Lord, I'll do it in the morning. And it's like the man who had a sign over his bed that said, I will start my diet tomorrow. Every day he read it. And it's the same thing we do with meeting with God. Lord, tomorrow I'll do it. Tomorrow I'll give you my tenth. Next week I'll give you my tenth. I don't have my tenth for today. All of that is the enemy stealing your inheritance.
If God says a tenth, give a tenth so the enemy can't steal your money. The government has 90% of it already. God is only asking you for 10. If he says, give me 10, give him 10, because he knows that whatever you give, you cannot outgive God. You cannot outgive God. He will give it to you. I know that. I've seen him do it. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Let the earth produce, and the earth produced. Let the waters gather under the sky in one place and put dry land, and dry land appeared. But when God created you and me, he used his hands. That's how precious you are to him. That's how precious we are to him. Rejoice. A few days ago, I was speaking to someone, and I said to her, just stop. The situation was of such that I said to her, stop doing stuff. Because sadly, she thought if she did certain things, God would answer her prayer. That's not how it works. He will answer it anyway. What he wants is your obedience. Just stop. Whatever it is you may be doing to see and get God to do, answer your prayer, giving more in the tithes, doing this, doing that, because you want God. Stop. It's a mess. The enemy has you confused. He's misinterpreting the word of God to you. And you've walked into it. And then all the other stuff comes happening. It's not only porridge, he sleeps in your bed. And you know what I'm going to say. The bad wolf is around. When we're standing in him, stop the stuff. Just move into God's hands. Just move into his presence. Sit with him. Listen to him. And he will tell you. Rather, he will speak. Excuse me. He will speak to you. Some people spend days fasting. I remember one day I said to a friend, well, what are you fasting about? She wasn't sure. I said, what is that about? Why just stop eating, that's all. And sometimes our fast is we just stop eating. The fast to God, it doesn't move God's hands, by the way, you know that. It doesn't impress him when we fast. It moves me closer to him. It moves you closer to him so you hear the answer you desire. Fasting is actually saying, I'm going to spend more time with God than devotions. It's actually saying, Lord, I'm not going to eat, but during the time I would eat, I'm going to sit at your feet and hear from you. That's what fasting is about. I will not allow anything to distract me, so I will speak of the King and listen to his words only. I have a thing I do every morning before I put my feet out of the bed. I make declarations over my life. It hasn't become repetitious because it's exactly who I am in Christ. And I declare who I am in Christ. So I know when I put my feet out of the bed, the responsibility I have to the kingdom of God, according to the words that I've been able to repeat and the declarations I've been able to make, and the bad wolf has no entrance into my day. Because I know where to go when the problems take place. I know where to go when I feel sick. I know where to go when I don't know the answer. What is that inheritance? Oh, I just saw time is gone, sorry. What is that inheritance? Nearly finished. The Bible does not say we have an inheritance, though we have. I think I mentioned that point before, but we have one now, and what are we doing with that? As the world changes around us, anxiety surrounding uncertainties in life tends to increase even in these times. Wars and rumors of wars, believers can daily find strength and hope in the unchanging nature of Christ. Politics, economics, everything is changing around us. But the Lord will not change, neither does his gospel. And if he will not change, of course there's increase in standard of living and all that stuff, but he hasn't changed, and you're his child. So guess what? He can meet your needs. Therefore, we receive a kingdom. Hebrews 12:28 says, therefore, we receive a kingdom that cannot be moved. Let us have grace that we may serve God with acceptance and reverence. I leave you to read 1 Corinthians 15:58, but I'll just start. But now, so now, stand fast, stable, enduring. Live your lives with an unshakable confidence. Let nothing move you. 2 Peter 1:3-11, Everything that we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in His divine power, with His divine power. Maybe God has given you a dream or a word, and you haven't yet seen the fulfillment of it. Just wait. He'll show up. I promise you. I've been there, worn the t-shirt and the slippers. He will show up. It may not like what, you may not like what He shows up with. But if you are praying, then you have to obey the answer. If you are not ready to obey what God says, even if it's not what you were thinking He would say, don't pray. It's a waste of time because you're only talking and nothing is happening. But when you are prepared, when we pray, we're supposed to pray with expectation and anticipation of the answer. That's prayer. Expectation and anticipation that we will hear. And you will hear. It's not always what you want to hear, but it's always His best for you because we are His inheritance. Conclusion. Clear your table that you will have what God has for you. There's so much God has for us, but we must clear the table. In other words, we must make a space to see the purpose that's already in place. Nothing is lost to Him. He shows up with something better. God doesn't fix broken things, by the way. He repurposes them for something better. If you need healing or a person you're praying for and it doesn't seem to appear and it has not happened the way you want it, God is still in control. When my sister was in her last weeks on earth, I remember looking at her in the bed and I thought, that's not God. That's the earth we live in. And I went back to my room and I dropped on my knees and I cried out to God. And I said, Father, you have heard our prayers because your word says when we pray, you hear. I know you have heard us pray. There are people walking around the house for 1 hour every day. You've heard the prayers. And your word says when we pray, you hear and you answer. So what is your answer? Show us your answer because this is not your answer. This is not kingdom. What is your answer? And the Holy Spirit said, 2 more days. And the morning of the third day, my sister went to be with the Lord. But just before she left and changed her address, she said to her children, they're waiting for a song. They want to give me an award, but they're waiting for a song. And nobody could find a song. And suddenly she heard, victory belongs to Jesus. And she said, that's the song. Now release me. Because our victory is in Jesus, not what He does, but who He is. He is our victor. So rejoice. Alone time with Him is setting you up for Him to produce through you something greater than you think. Death could not handle Him. The grave could not hold Him. He always has been and always will be. There is no one before Him and there will be no one after Him. He is eternally secure, eternally sincere, eternally steadfast, imperially powerful. He is the Savior. He is honest. He is unique. He forgives sinners. He delivers the captive. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He's the doorway to deliverance. He's the pathway to peace. He is the roadway to righteousness. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. When you are weak, He is strong. When you fall, He'll pick you up. When you fail, He will forgive you. When you are lost, He is your way. When you stumble, He will steady you. When you hurt, He will heal you. When you face trials, He is with you. When you face persecution, He will heal you. When you face problems, He will comfort you. When you're in need, He will provide for you. When you face loss, He will comfort you. When we face death, He will carry us home. He is everything for everybody, every time, everywhere. This is who we belong to. This is Christ in you. No one can deplete, remove, or change this reality. Hallelujah! It's who He is. So rejoice. This is the Christ in you. And He's not in you just for today. He is in you from today until you see Him face to face. Amen. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is never, can never be depleted, nor removed, nor this reality cannot change. God says in his word, I cannot change because I am God. I do not change. Nothing about him changes. If it looks like he has changed, you have moved. I have moved. He does not move. Check where you are in him now and see if it is that you have moved. That's why he seems far away. But he will never move.